I've had the Bible to comfort me. The Bible's gave me guidance when I needed it. It's rebuked me at times. There's times I felt like the preacher opened up his text and I was the subject, title, and conclusion of everything he was preaching. I thought I had a billboard over the top of my head. There's been a lot of uses and is a lot of uses for this Bible. But if the Lord would help me, I'd like to expound to you with the help of the Holy Ghost one other use of this Bible, and that's to encourage you. Maybe there's somebody here today say, "Preacher, I don't know, you read Matthew, how's that going?" This book is a hymn book, not a H-Y-M-N, but a H-I-M. When I read about Moses, I don't want to care. Look about Moses. I'm trying to figure out something about him. When I read about in the Levitical offerings, I'm looking for him. I'm just saying today, what we need is a good dose of him. The Old Testament told us he's coming. The gospel said he's here. Right. Acts says he's gone. Right. But the whole rest of the book said he's coming back soon. I want to know about him today. I find encouragement when I get where he's at. I like this hymn book we got. In our text today, in Matthew 15, it lists a woman, and Mark calls her a Syrophoenician woman. Calls her a Greek or a Gentile. Tells us plainly in our text she's a woman from Canaan. If the Lord would help me, I'd like to look at this text and preach to you a thought on heavenly hush puppies and a blank check to boot. Heavenly hush puppies and a blank check to boot. In our text, this woman, I love this portion of scripture. I feel like I can relate to her. She's got pressure that's pressing in on her. Probably some of us has got some pressure in our life. I'm glad I know the person that can relieve pressure. I think maybe, Brother Jeremy, I'm interested in knowing what God has written in our text that can help me to follow what she did and get what she got. Notice verse 28 says, "Even as thou wilt." That's the blank check. It's as if the Lord has came to her side. Now, I'm going to get there in the end, but let me just say this. If you read the verses prior to this, he's at Galilee. Now he's come to this place at Tyre and Sidon, and as soon as he gets done, he's going back to Galilee. That's a 50-mile trip in one way. So you're telling me, preacher, God made a 100-mile trip just to help one woman with a doggy bag of hush puppies and a blank check? That's exactly what I'm saying. And if God did that for her, why won't he help you today? I'm telling you, God knows how to help his children. I like these words, "even as thou wilt." Kind of reminds me of blind Bartimaeus. "What wilt thou that I should do unto you?" I'm going to sign my name to the check. I'm writing it out to you. Now whatever you need, fill in the blank. I'm just telling you, God knows what we need. I'm not talking about a health and wealth God. I'm talking about the God that has all the health and all the wealth that you need. I'm talking about a Savior that, thank God, will make a 100-mile trip just to bless one of his children. Notice what our text says. And I don't know about you. Maybe you're not like me. But I feel like if we look at this text, it's a prayer text. It shows us how this woman got some help. If there's one thing I'll say today, brother, God is not a respecter of persons. And if he helped a little woman from Canaan, a Syrophoenician woman, if he helped this woman who's unnamed in the Bible, I believe he'll help Shane Jackson. I believe he'll help Jeremy Smith. I believe he'll help everybody else, because the Bible said in Acts chapter 10, I believe it is, Acts 10:34, that God is no respecter of person. I'm needing some pressure relief. I need God to do something in our life today. And I feel like I'm in a crowd of people when the pressure's on out here in this world. And we need God to intervene. Hallelujah. Notice with me, first of all, in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan come out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Notice this prayer that she prayed. It was a prayer that had passion, a passionate prayer. Listen, the Bible says over in James 5:16 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In fact, you know what Spurgeon said? He said prayer that is not effectual is like hunting with a dead dog. I'm telling you, we got to have some praying. You aren't going to get anything with a dead dog, friend. We got to have effectual passion when we pray. This woman was passionate. Notice the word. This word here used in our text is this word cried. This is not crying out, but an outcry. It's one of them things, if I could put it like this, it's pressure that builds up on the inside and cries out. And when she says, oh Lord, don't just pass that little word, oh. It's a groaning word. Oh Lord, have you been so passionate that you groaned in your spirit, that your prayer was just not out of your throat, but it was out of your soul? Oh Lord, she's crying unto him. I like the word she uses. She uses mercy. I like that. I'm glad he's got a lot of that. I'm glad the Bible tells us in Ephesians, he's rich in that. He's rich in mercy. Amen. I like what she uses, thou son of David. That's a messianic title. That's not just anybody from Nazareth, the wrong side of the tracks. That's not just Jesus and that. That's thou, son of David, the messianic title. Woo, hallelujah. She knew who he was. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. She had a passionate prayer. Notice this. It wasn't necessarily a loud prayer. It wasn't necessarily a long prayer. In fact, when she says that word, help me, it's two letters. It's less than 20 the first time she speaks to him. It's not necessarily a long prayer. And I got nothing against long praying. Matter of fact, it wasn't a loud necessarily or a long, but it was a longing prayer. And when you get the longing, you're going to get loud and you're going to get long. I'm telling you, hallelujah. One old brother, he put it like this, Brother Jeremy, I kind of like this. He said, you need to be tenacious in your prayer. I was wondering, most folks that heard him was wondering if he knew what tenacious meant. Tenacious in your prayer. And finally, he gave that good illustration. That dog grabbing them ribs, hot ribs off the grill, and he beat his leg out of joint, and the dog's hobbling off with the ribs still in his mouth. He is tenacious in them ribs. I tell you, that's what we need to do. And when that sorry devil wants to beat you up, just growl at him once in a while. God's put a promise in your heart and a prayer in your mouth, and you're not going to let go until you smell the hush puppies and see the ink drying on the blank check. Thank God. Hallelujah. She ain't letting go. She's needing some help. Long praying. It's turned along. It's turning. I ain't letting go. Now, it didn't take her long. It didn't take her two words. If you count them all together, still 20 words or less. Notice she is focused in her prayer. Not just the force of her passion. She is crying out. But notice the Notice this, the focus of her passion. She said, first of all, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Right. Amen. Then she's mentioning, I got a daughter that's laid over yonder sick. Y'all with me in our tents? Right. And verse 22, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She's laid up sick. I mean, she's not just sick physically. She is sick spiritually. She's vexed with the devil. What she's saying is, I got a daughter full of the devil. I got a daughter that is full of the devil. I need some help. You know what she's saying, Brother Jeremy? Here's what she's saying. She's wanting some help, but she's really wanting help for that daughter. So you know what she's really wanting? I wish I had my battery out here. She's wanting to be a conductor of mercy. She said, Lord, I'm coming over here to get a hold of you, and then I'm going to go over and get a hold of my daughter, and I want to be a conduit of mercy. But if you're going to be a conductor of mercy, you're going to have to keep them close clean. And hey, man, preacher, a battery won't conduct electricity when it's dirty and loosened up. You got to tighten it up once in a while. How I do that, preacher? Compare yourself to this Bible. Don't try to change the text. Change you. Amen. I tell you what you do. Get in the altar. That's how you get her tightened up. Come to church. Get her tightened up. Get it cleaned off. I always had a good mechanic. You know what he do? He, praise God, put a little oil, a special salve on it when he got her cleaned up. I tell you what, we need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what will help you be a good conductor of mercy. Mamas and daddy, don't you want to be a conduit of God's mercy? No, you can't save them. But I tell you what you can do, produce an atmosphere where they're raised up at, where they know about Jesus and his powerful mercy that's everlasting and his truth that endured to all generations. She had a passion in her prayer, focused passion, cried out from the inside out. Notice this, Brother Jeremy, in verse 23. Not only was it a prayer of passion, it was a prayer with persistency. I mentioned that dog, he wouldn't let go of it. I mean, beat his leg out of joint. And he still hobbled off with the ribs in his mouth. Hallelujah. We'll let the first little thing come up and we'll want to quit. Let's look at her and see how she fared. Look at verse 23. I love this. But he answered her not a word. I love the hound out of that. Did y'all see that? He ignored her. You ever felt like God ignored you? He hadn't really ignored you. He's just wanting you to get desperate and passionate about your praying. He wants you to be persistent. Hello, he's traveled 100 miles to meet her need. He's came for that purpose. When he gets done, he's going back to Galilee. I'm telling you, when he comes your way, he's already been on the way long before you ever started praying. We've got a God that knows how to meet needs. Y'all remember that city of Nain, that boy that died? Y'all know that story? And if somebody died over in the Middle East, you got to get them buried quick. They'll go to Syria and the heat's too bad. And so that woman's young and died. And the length that he had to travel on foot in the flesh to come to that woman to touch that bier or coffin and be able to raise her son from the dead, for him to get there, Brother Tony, before he's in the tomb, he had to start out before that boy ever died. I'm telling you, God knows what you need today. He came for that purpose. Notice this, she persisted when she was ignored. Thank you, Lord. Prayers initiate. I hear people say things like this, and I've said it probably sometime. We say things like this. God always answers prayer. It's yes, no, or wait a little while. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost puts a prayer in you, The answer is always yes. See, prayer ain't about you getting God to do what you want him to do. It's about him getting you where he can. Are y'all with me? It real prayer starts in glory and gets you in on it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about, I'm thanking God today for every prayer that's been initiated by the Holy Ghost. There's no, that's not a possibility. He knows what I need to pray. We can have confidence in prayer that when we pray and it's his will, that we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions. 1 John 5:14-15. And that God knows what you need to pray. Yes, sir. I like it. And I mean, now I understand. Sometimes God is telling you no because you ain't praying in his will. Yeah. But when the Holy Ghost, you know what Paul told Jude over in that island coastal city, over in that land of corruption? You know what he said? He said, I tell you what you do. Keep yourself in the love of God. How, preacher? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God that Spirit can make intercession for you with groanings that can't even be uttered. You don't have the mental vocabulary or the ability to use that tongue, but the Holy Spirit of God knows exactly what. You see, you got an intercessor up yonder and an intercessor in here, and they never do get their wires crossed. Man, she's persisted when she's ignored. She persisted when she's inflicted. That's what it says. Look right here in verse 23. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's bothering us. She's embarrassing us. She's crying after us. Not that, are y'all with me? Not crying out, but an outcry. Bubbling up. She's grown. Oh, I mean, she's needing help for herself, but most importantly, she's got a daughter that needs help, and she's not going to go back empty-handed. She needs some mercy with her. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And the Bible said, them old disciples said, oh, send her away. There's going to be religious people that say you're a fanatic. You gonna let the crowd keep you from him? I'm glad that woman with the issue of blood didn't let that crowd that was thronging, the idea of pressing so tightly that you couldn't even get in there. I know how she got there. She got on her hands and knees and crawled through that crowd. Had to be. Woo! She done had that issue of blood for 12 years, Brother Leonard. She wasn't going to be told. No, she needed some help. She wasn't going to let no crowd. She wasn't going to let the cost. She done spent everything she had. She wasn't going to let her own calamity. She was not supposed to touch people. Everybody that she touched was unclean, but not this man. Because this man, instead of getting unclean, will make you clean. And she felt it. Hey, can I say today, don't let people inflict you or hinder you. And when you think he's ignoring you, he's not ignoring you. He's just getting you to the right place. Hallelujah. When you can get passionate and persistent and pray on. Say amen right there. And I know that's right. When the situation gets worse, there's been times I've prayed and my wife says, you need to lighten up a little bit. Because it looks like it's getting worse. Y'all ever been there? Y'all know I'm right. How many of you prayed, God will help you get closer to him, and it feels like the pressure is all on at that time? Don't let up, for God's sake. It might get a little rough before it gets better. But can I say today, that roughness and what it seems like is worse, all that is God knocking some stuff off of your life that he don't want there, because he's conforming you. And there's an image of Christ in there, and he's got to get you out of the way so everybody out here can see him in you. Hallelujah. Great God in heaven. Woo! when a situation looked like it's getting worse, when it looked like it wasn't going nowhere. It's like Luke 11:8. Y'all remember that story? I got somebody come by the house. I need some bread to give them. He said, "We in the bed." I can hear him in there. "Daddy, you gonna get the door?" Let's ignore him. Maybe he'll go away. He just kept on knocking. He just kept on knocking. I mean, he's trying to roll over, kept on, put the pillow over his head, kept on knocking. And because of his importunity, he opened the door and gave him everything he's needing. Can I say today, God used that as an illustration to show us we need to be. See, when the Holy Ghost puts pressure on you to pray and for you to storm the gates of heaven and press heaven for some help, don't stop, don't let up. God's got an answer already on the way. Amen. I believe this, Brother Jeremy. No matter what, the old devil tries to wrestle us, bind us and hinder us, get people that's religious to stop us. I tell you what we ought to do. Pray on. Notice this. Not only was she passionate, persistent, she had poverty in her prayer. Look at verse 26. But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread." And he cast it to the dogs. Now, Gentiles were referred to as dogs. That's a derogatory term. Hello, I just want to let y'all know, he was not complimenting her. Is everybody with me? Most people would call us a dog. We'd be ready to fight. But you know what she said? I love the hound out of this. He calls this lady a dog. That's what he calls her. But look what she did in verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Boy, you've said the truth there. If I've ever heard the truth, you're telling it right. You know what she said? Woo! He called her a dog. That's the term for big dog. She said, "Truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs." That's the term for little dog. She said, "I'm not even a big dog. I'm just a little old dead dog." Mephibosheth said he was a dead dog. Oh, I'm telling you. Thank God he recognized who she was. She got poverty in her prayer. She got humility. She sees her worthlessness, but she sees he's worthy. She sees her impotence, but she sees him omnipotence. She sees her own insufficiency, but she sees his all sufficiency. She said, "Truth, Lord, you're telling it right. I know what I am." Woo! You say, "Preacher, this woman's crazy." Oh no. She's about to see the ink dry on the check.
That's
right. And heavenly hush puppies is already beginning to fill the air. Here's what most Baptists would have said. "Preacher, you hurt my feelings. I don't like that straight sin preaching. I don't like that. Upset me." And then they'll go run their mouth acting like it's a prayer request. "Pray for me. I'm really been hurt." You know what the problem is? You think you're something. That's what your problem is. You know what the Bible says? When a man thinks he's something, when he is nothing. I'm going to tell y'all something. You can't hurt nothing. You can't hurt nothing. Try to hurt nothing. You can't. Preach on, preacher. You can't hurt nothing. You can't hurt nothing. There ain't no way to hurt. If you nothing, you know what God, you know what? You know what she said? "I'm a zero with the rim out of it. I'm not even worth to be a zero. I'm nothing."
Yes, sir.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, when a man's preaching this Bible and he's doing the will of God, you ought not have your feelings hurt. If he's using a different Bible and they're singing con, that's fake, temporary, won't last. Amen, preacher. They're trying to change the church services.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then now you got a right to be upset.
Amen.
Then get out and get where the Holy Ghost is. Right. Yes, sir. Go on somewhere and get where God's at. For souls can be saved and lives touched, and you won't dry up and die. But praise God, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. I'm telling you, God can help you. If you'll let him help you, he'll help you. We just sometimes get a little too big for our britches, my grandpa said. She got honest. She had a poverty of honesty. Then she had a verse 25. She had a poverty of humility. Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Woo, Lord, help me." Brother, don't miss that little word, worship. I love this. Here's the idea. Jared, stand up. You're going to come up here on the platform. Stand right up here. You're going to be Jesus for a minute. Pray real good for you. Come up here and be Jesus. All right? You Jesus. And I'm this woman. Put your hand out right there. This is the... Y'all do know what worship is, don't you? It means to, in public, make yourself look crazy. I'm just... It means to feed yourself mad. I mean, folks going to think you weird when you say, "Whoa!"
Yeah.
See, it's normal at the ball game to the world. But when you celebrate the fact that you don't have to go to hell, that your name's written in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! That's something to shout about. That's all I can do to keep from running right now, I'm telling you. This is the idea. Notice what Lord. Bible said she came and worshiped. Notice this. This is the idea of worship. He called her a dog. She said, "Truth, Lord, not truer words have ever been said. I'm a little dog, in fact." Now she's going to act like a dog. The word worship in our text means to act like a dog. It means to get on your knees and get up underneath the hand so that he might. Have y'all ever had a dog that done that? When a dog does that, you can't help but pet him. You don't want your stank on you. You better sit down, Lord, have mercy. Hey, but praise God, when they rub up against you and put their head underneath your hand, woo! The idea also is to lick the hand. Can I say this? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. She said, "I know what I have." Woo! She's got humble in her praying. She's got honest in her praying. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Brother Jeremy. I like the way she worships. Her praying's turned to worship. The word worship means to act clamorously in public. Yes, sir. Let me put it like this. Them disciples that tried to inflict her, I bet you they're saying, "That woman is crazy as a bed bug. She's acting like a dog." No, what's going on? Here's what's going on. They think that she's acting like a dog, but she's already seeing the ink dry on the blank check. She's smelling hush puppies from heaven. And she's saying, "Whoa! Thank God. I'm a dog. You're right. I'm going to act like we ought to worship him, abhor him, adore him." Amen. Abhor the devil and adore the Lord. Y'all with me? Amen. Look at verse 25. "Lord, help me." Can I say this today? The devil don't like me preaching on this right here. Flesh don't neither.
Nope.
No, sir. Now, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to put that flesh in its place. You ain't going to take it to heaven, will you?
Amen.
Quit acting like it's going to spend eternity with you.
Right.
But you are going to be with him.
Amen.
So you ought to just go ahead and praise him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She used these words, "Help me." That's not a fancy prayer. No, but it's a working prayer.
Amen.
Psalms did it over. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. And when I don't know what to do sometimes, I just say, help, Lord. I'm telling you, it gets his attention. I know the Bible says in Hebrews 13:6, thank you, Lord. The Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do. That word helper's two words. Amen. One means to cry like a baby, and the other one means to meet the need of a baby like a mama. I'm glad he can meet my need, because I'm his youngin'. Lord, help me. She's already seen who he is. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark. I'm going to prove this to you. This is not a, y'all stay with me. This is not a commencement of faith. This is a continuing of her faith. Let me put it like this. This is not the place where her faith started. I know we like to say that, but this is not where she started in faith. Y'all, I'm going to prove it to you. Look over here in Mark. Same story, verse 24. Verse 25, a certain woman rose whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him. Let me get that again. Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house. Remember, Brother yesterday, I used to think this was on the road somewhere. No, sir. He had entered into a house in Tyre and Sidon. And the Bible says that he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Boy, I like it when God gets so big nobody can hide him. Woo! You can't make him show up. I tell you what, you just obey him, and I tell you what'll happen. He'll get show up so big, everybody will know it. Now look at verse 25. For a certain woman, it's as if he went on the trip for a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Did y'all see Mark's account?
Amen.
Okay. Y'all look up here. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by
hearing.
She'd already heard about him. And when she got to the house, she felt, oh my God, have mercy. Her faith had started way back yonder. That's why she could call him Lord. For praise God, faith had already produced, hey, a work in her heart. She's already one of his children. Faith cometh by hearing. She heard about him. And she came where he was, Brother Jeremy. I'm so glad of that. So here's what I think happens. This woman, she says, truth, Lord. Then she says, Lord, help me. Then in verse 26, he says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And look what she says again. And she says, truth, Lord. I sure do love that. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall. Did y'all see that? Which fall, thank God, from their master's table. She already had faith that brought her. Where did that faith come from? She didn't muster it up.
No.
The preacher couldn't give it to her.
Baptism
waters didn't let her find it. She didn't turn over enough leaves.
Right.
No. I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost went where she was and put faith in her heart, and she already knew he was Lord and Savior. And when she came to him, she just went ahead and started worshiping him and calling him who he was.
Yeah.
She saw him. She knew who she was. Hey, this was not the commencement. This is the continuing of her faith.
Amen.
She's in a trial of faith. The pressure is on.
Right. Amen.
Now picture this. Mark says, are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? She's in the house. She's already said, I'm a dog. Truth. She went on to say, Brother Linder, did she not say, help me? She got desperate. Lord, I realize my daughter is not going to get no help unless I first get to help. Help me. Then he said, it's not meet that I take the bread of the children and cast it to the dogs. And here's what she does. Now, y'all don't have to believe this, but I'm going to believe it. And nobody in here is going to change my mind. This is what I believe. Here's what I believe, Brother Jeremy. Here's what happened. She went into that house where he was. Mark says she fell at his feet. Are y'all with me? All the conversation that's taking place. He's acted as if he's ignoring her. The disciples has tried to inflict her, but she's got passion in her prayer and she's poverty. She realized she's humble. She's got honest before God. And I'm going to tell you what she's doing now. They said that woman has really lost her mind now. Not only is she acting like a dog, look at her underneath the table. She's looking underneath the table, looking up at him. Said, yeah, but Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. What, she's crazy as a bedbug? No, she's not. What's she doing under there? She's a smelling hush puppies. That's what she's doing. She's fixing to get some blessings. Now, some of you saying, why do you keep saying hush puppies, preacher? I looked up what, y'all know where hush puppies came from? Hush puppies came from long ago when men would bring their dogs to the restaurant. And to keep the dogs quiet outside, they took some cornbread and made hush puppies to keep them hushed up. It's already dog food. Woo! She's going home with a doggy bag of crumbs of hush puppies. Are y'all getting it? But he said, oh no, lady, you want crumbs? I just got news for you. You're not only going to get the crumbs, you're going to get the bread. In fact, you're going to get the table. You're going to get to sit at my table. You get everything. And can I remind y'all, when do you get a doggy bag? When you're already full to the brim. When you've already eaten all you can take in. That woman's done took all she can take. She is full to the brim and she's taking a doggy bag of hush puppies back to her daughter so her daughter can get some help and get delivered from the devil. And that ain't all she's getting. Hallelujah. Brother Jeremy, look at this persuasion. Look at verse 28. Jesus said unto her, woman, oh woman. She called him, oh, Lord. He said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I'm signing my name. You're paid to the order of. Now you fill in the blank, even as thou wilt. Not only has she got some crumbs, hush puppies, if you will. Not only has she, you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying she was a dog that wasn't going to get hushed up until she got what the master could give her. Woo! Hallelujah. She kept on praying and she had a persuasion in her prayer. Look what God did. He did what he came 100 miles round trip to do. Man, hallelujah. I'm glad of that, Brother Jeremy. Even as thou wilt, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the ignoring, in spite of everything. Preacher, time out. Hold on. Where did a Canaanite, where did a Syrophoenician get faith? I told you, it came from her hearing about him. Faith cometh by hearing. That's why she's there. But she's got more than she bargained for. She just didn't get a few hush puppies. That's just what comes. That's a cheap, free gift. Just, y'all get this. This is a free gift because you come to the table. Hey, that's it. Praise God. If you can't eat them all, don't worry about it. We'll let you take some home with you. My God, have mercy. I get to thinking about Samson going down there in that vineyard and fighting that lion and then coming back by and there's a colony of bees in that carcass. God came on him, let him defeat that devil. Let him defeat that lion. He didn't have no business being in the vineyard. He had the Nazarite vow on him. He had no business. Ain't that something? When you got no business being in some places, God will still give you the victory over messes you get yourself into. And he's down there in a vineyard, and he gets victory in the vineyard, comes back by, finds a colony in a carcass, and walks away with honey in the hand. Hallelujah. I'm talking about that's how God does. He'll make sweetness come out of bitter times. Man. In spite of all that she went through, she wasn't leaving, Brother Jeremy, until she got some blessings. I sure do love this. Verse 21, came to Tyre and Sidon. She had been in Galilee. And in verse number 29, Jesus departed and went back to Galilee. Friend, if he did that for her, what in the world would he do for you? He did that in flesh, walking. What wilt thou? Even as thou wilt. He said, what wilt thou to Bartimaeus? He says to this woman, even as thou wilt. Fill in the blank. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what pressure you need relieved. I don't know what trials you're facing. But he walked 100 miles in flesh on foot to meet the need of one Gentile dog who wasn't ashamed to act like a dog, who wasn't ashamed. She was thankful to be at the table. She didn't have her belly full, but she didn't have so much pride she wasn't willing to get under the table. I do like it when we have prayer down here sometimes, and I look, somebody's dove up under a remembrance table. Well, I'm telling you, God will help that person. They ain't worried about pride. They need some help. The pressure is a pressing on us from every direction out here. We've got daughters, family, friends, situations, but I'm glad we can go to him. Thank God. And leave with a doggy bag. He'll fill in. Thank God. His name, your name, and say, even as thou wilt. What do you need? I'm already carrying your load. You're in my wagon, in my hand. Why don't you set the tater bag down? I've got your load. I can carry your burden. I've been doing it since I saved you. Let's all stand. Jacob, you come.